T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back to OMF. Ordway is off today, so it's just Merlone and Fourier. We like to call ourselves the MF.
Third man in could be Michael Lombardi if he plays his cards right.
It is open. Speaking of Michael Lombardi, our conversation with Mike Lombardi, sponsored by Town Fair Tire, Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? And by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack free. Joining us, Mike Lombardi of the GM Shuffle podcast and Gridiron Genius. Mike, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How you guys, huh?
Good, Mike.
We're doing good, Mike. So we spent a long week here looking at all 22s of people posting them up and bad route running.
Man.
And we talked to Chris Sims the other day. I'll ask you the same question. When you've seen some of those things, which I'm sure you've seen here on Twitter, where is it? Is it Brady? Is it these young wide receivers not figuring it out?
You know, I think it's a common, you know, whenever you break down as a football team, it's never just one guy. I mean, if it was so easy, people would solve the issue, right? So there's got to be attention to detail in everything you do, especially consistently offensively. And I think that's what's lacking is the attention to detail, the coordination between the route running and the routes that are supposed to be run, how they're run. You know, when you get put a route into, when you learn a new play, the line tells you where to go, but there has to be a way you do it. And it's a unique way to do it. And that's got to be orchestrated within the quarterback understanding of how you're going to do it. I mean, Harry, you know, he's got to get under, he can't let that defensive back cut him off. He's got to get underneath. You know, Dorsett's got to keep running. I mean, there's all different areas that have to improve, and I think it starts with everybody. I mean, it's just not a one-man, you know, if we fix this, it's all problems are going away. I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, and I don't know if this holds true for the Patriots, but, you know, it's been my experience that undisciplined players usually have undisciplined coaches, right? So a real simple route like Dorsett not running, like, what are you doing? I mean, that's you're just being stupid. Like, you can't do that. So do you put any of the blame on the coaching staff for not getting these guys ready?
Well, I think, like I said, I think everybody. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the coaches are explaining it to them, but I think everybody has to be in part of it. You know, it's the players, it's coaches, it's scouts, it's everybody. I mean, I know that you say, well, the scouts are on the road. No, I mean, they got to, it's part, you know, we got to get players to do what we need them to do. And then eventually, if they don't do it, we got to get other players that can do it. So, you know, I think it's a little bit of a combination of everything, and people tend to take, you know, the smallest details lightly. And I think in New England, the secret to all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious. And I would say that in games like this, the non-obvious wasn't really handled. It's a Marcus Aurelius. He's attributed to the quote. That's my next book, Marcus Aurelius.
That's a good quote. The Roman Marcus Aurelius?
The Roman.
See that? Marcus How about that? It was funny, you know, Mike, when we started talking, when Lou was talking about the all-22s, I call them the, you know, especially on Twitter, the all-22 snobs. They're all condescending. They all think they know everything. They have the answers to the test, and none of them have ever been in a locker room, let alone a freaking huddle. I kind of felt some disdain when we mentioned that, too. Do you feel the same way we do when it comes to
every single person
that is trying to tell us what went wrong?
Well, I think a lot of people watch tape. I don't think very few. I think very few study tape. And I think it's easy to turn on the all-22 and watch it. But if you don't understand what's being taught, you don't understand what the defense is doing, you don't understand. I mean, what blows me away is when people start talking about coverage.
Oh, I love robber. How about a robber?
They're playing one robber.
Bail.
They're playing, you know, I mean, you know, Saturday night on college football, he can't get zone from man. He has no idea zone or man, you know, and doesn't even have a comprehension of brackets or any of that. So I don't want to be a snob here, but I know this. And it's people in the NFL as well. People watch tape. People study tape. There's two different things. Everyone watches tape. Very few studies.
See, I think that's the NFL. It's like a good thing and the worst thing. The fact that they made Game Pass available to every single person if they give you $99.99 a year. So everyone could go on the all 22. So I see what happened is looks like a robber technique. And, oh, yeah, Brady completely screwed this up. Oh, it's on Brady. It's on Brady.
I mean, it's hilarious. I mean, there's guys making a living that say, I watch more tape than anybody during a week. Mm-hmm. They have TV shows. They go on radio. They're busy on radio because, look, people are looking for content. But what are they saying? I mean, what are they really saying? What are they telling me? I mean, Chris Collinsworth went on TV and told me it was just Mitchell Trubisky's footwork. You know, like, I'd like to know what that is. You know, I'd like to know why his footwork is bad. I'll tell you when Mitchell plays well is when there's no pass rush. And when you play a cover
on air.
And when you play a cover three against them where you don't change the strength of your coverage, you don't really have run support like the Cowboys did last night, he's going to play good. It's a high school defense. No disrespect to high school coaches.
You know, Mike, I want to go back to that game against Houston because, you know, there was some points at the end of that game. There was some drives with Brady when he got Edelman and White involved. But it seemed like in the first half when Houston was playing man-to-man, they couldn't – I mean, even James White, yeah, they put a corner on. They couldn't get free. Now, you know, up 21-3, 28-9, soft coverage, zone, and they tore them apart. So – but people to being too optimistic when they saw this team turn it on in the fourth quarter and say, hey, that's something to build on?
No, well, they got to get – look, the book on the Patriots right now is, play man on them, hug them, see if they can separate. Now, Josh knows that. You know, the offensive coaches know that, so they've got a game plan. I mean, when they played Dallas, they were preparing for a cover two game, but Dallas came out and played man, so they had to adjust to the Dallas game plan. I mean, people know what they're doing. I mean, the one thing about the NFL, it's a copycat league. And they are going to copy what works against other teams. The next game plan, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo will have every blitz coming from everywhere. He'll play man-to-man. And if he's successful at doing it, then he wins. If he's not, and if he thinks he's going to do the same thing that Houston did and have the same effect, God bless.
Well, it's funny because you feel like the defenses are doing that to Brady, and the Patriots offense is not making anybody pay for it. So they're just going to keep bringing it. And I feel like it's the same way with offenses when they go against the Patriots defense as far as running some of those similar schemes, blocking techniques that the Baltimore Ravens use, and I feel like the Houston Texans use, and I don't know if Kansas City will do that, but it seems like, hey, let's take about maybe a handful of plays and sprinkle it in because we know they can't stop it.
Well, I think, too, I'm not sure how well they were on Sunday night. They didn't look like the same defense to me from a speed standpoint. From a quickness standpoint, they look different. They look like the flu bug might have gotten them. Now, that's not an excuse. I mean, Deshaun Watson's a good player. Houston, when they have Will Fuller on, I said this last week, when they have Will Fuller, they're really good. I mean, they can stretch you out. It makes it harder. You have to defend the width and the length of the field. And then they've got this unique running game with the quarterback who can do a lot of things with the movement of when he gets into that pocket. So, look, I think the Patriots will play much better defense this week. I really do.
You know, we were talking about Josh McDaniels earlier here. We played some sound with you earlier on your own podcast, talking about the comments from David Tepper, owner of the Panthers. And you said that basically what he's saying is Josh McDaniels. You think this is the year that Josh leaves?
I don't know if Josh will leave, but I think if you read what I wrote about today in The Athletic and I said on my podcast, if you read David Tepper's quotes, he described Josh McDaniels. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, I'm not making anything revolutionary here, but when you read what that man described, what he wants in his coach, he described Josh McDaniels.
Yeah,
I think maybe you could say, well, did he describe Greg Roman? Well, maybe he did. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could read Greg Roman or Kevin Stefanski in that quote. Yeah, maybe they'll be on his list. But what I read from a really smart guy, he wants somebody who's really smart and intellectually can challenge him as well. I thought that's where it was going.
Yeah, we were just talking about Josh. I just felt like timing-wise, I don't know how long Tom's going to be here. I don't know if he's got 5 years left here in New England. But if Josh does, I wouldn't wait until after Tom Brady to go after that job. I mean, I don't know if he'll be a great offensive coordinator without Tom Brady. He might not have the interest, or teams might not be interested.
I would say this. Most people look at the roster before they decide on whether they want to become the head coach of the team. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely wrong. I think you need to look at the owner. I think in my experience in 35 years in the NFL, I think Bill Walsh, when he said we're only competing against eight, was really talking about the owners. And the way Tepper sounds and the way Tepper behaves and the way he thinks, I think he's going to be a great owner. And so, you know, they may not have a great roster. They may not have a quarterback in Cam Newton who can play anymore, or they may need a quarterback. I think all that doesn't matter. I think if you have a really good owner who understands it. Now, what we've learned from people that want to hire the Patriot way, and Josh learned this the first time he went to Denver. If the owner doesn't really want the program and he only wants it for a day or two or a week or two or a month or two, it's not going to work out. You got to get somebody who wants what you're selling. I think it's really about that. That's why these lists for coaching jobs is ridiculous, because not everybody fits the criteria. But 90% of the teams in the NFL don't even have a criteria for what they want for head coach. They have a scheme what they want. They don't have a criteria.
So I would assume, based on that, that Dallas would probably be off Josh McDaniels' list if that job opened up and he was willing to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, in theory, I say yes. But what Parcells said about Jerry Jones is so true. He could talk a cat off the top of a fish truck. And I think that, you know, Jerry gets in there and starts, you know, doing the Arkansas chatter. I'm not really involved. I don't do much, you know, and he gives you that. Maybe he could talk a coach into doing it. But look, let's be real honest. I mean, since Barry Switzer has left, Jerry's won 52% of his games. See, some of these teams don't understand. They don't have a coaching problem. They have an organizational problem, right? We're going to blame every fan wants you to fire the coach, right? Washington doesn't have a coaching problem. They have an organizational problem. So even no matter who they hire, scratch them off the list. Scratch them off the list. If the Cowboys have won 52% of their games since Switzer left, they've got an organizational problem. It's not Dave Campo. It's not Wade Phillips. It's not the Clapper. They've got an organizational problem.
Talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, you know, a big topic this week, and it's kind of hitting us now, that Tom Brady doesn't have a contract next year. So people, you know how it is. It's going to get a lot more of it, too, especially the deeper they go into postseason. It's just the last game as a Patriot. But I just want to know, in your opinion, at the end of the year, whose call is it? Like, leave Brady out. Belichick and Kraft, I'm talking about it. Well, whatever Belichick says, is Kraft on the same page?
Well, I think whatever in the best interest of the Patriots is going to be on the same page. You know, and I can't imagine Tom playing anywhere. So I say that after you asked me that question. I mean, I think whatever the best interest of the Patriots is going to determine, you know, where Tom wants to play next year. And I think that's going to be the key component. And I think that there's so much being read into not having a contract. I mean, look, the one thing is quarterbacks are – there's only so many teams have deep quarterbacks, and there's only so many teams that run the Patriots system. I can't imagine Tom's going to go to Cleveland and play for Freddie Kitchens and learn Freddie's offense.
What about Miami? O'Shea?
I think I could certainly, if that was an opportunity. But I mean, do you think Tom wants to go behind a line that can't block anybody?
How about Tennessee? You know? How about Tennessee?
They got a lot of money to
spend. How about Tennessee? There's an interesting, you know, dynamics that I would be willing to.
That's great. You honestly think that Arthur Smith knows anything about the Patriot offense? Do you honestly think that?
Seriously. No. So, but
you think
Mike Vrabel? Mike Vrabel hires who would he hire? Joe Judge. Joe Judge goes from being the offensive wide receiver coach, now he's going to be the offensive
teams
coordinator and special teams coach.
You know, look, you think Arthur Smith knows all the tango? Do you think he knows all? No chance.
Well, Arthur Smith is going to be gone, if Brady ends up going there. Don't you think this one has to kind of relinquish the ability to the other?
There's very few people in the world that truly understand the origins of how that offense was created from the Ron Earhart days to where it is today through the Josh McDaniel era. There's very few people that understand, you know, where it all started, how it began, the corrections. And to go somewhere else with trying to teach people that, why do you think Mohamed Sanu struggles to learn what to do? Why do you think the young rookies struggle to learn what to do? Because it's complex. Now, they'll say, no, it takes a while. Now, it's not impossible, but it's hard to unlearn. And I think it takes some time.
Okay, so we spent the whole time talking. We haven't even talked about the damn game. So there is a game on Sunday. So the Patriots have no kicker, at least that I know of. Maybe Jake Bailey kicks. Who the hell knows? Right, I guess he is.
Oh, they'll have a kicker. I mean,
they don't have a kicker right now. It's Friday. Who's
have anybody.
Kicker?
Yeah.
Let's bet on they'll have a kicker. I mean, come on. They're going to have a kicker. Come on, you guys.
I mean, it's Friday.
He plays you guys like it's so good.
There's no kicker. How are they going to have to practice the hot routes. Fire drill, Mike.
You know he's going to have a kicker.
All right, so they got a kicker. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have a kicker, so everything. But, okay, so going to Kansas City, right? So we saw what they were last year. Mahomes gets hurt. They lose a couple games. They still got a bunch of weapons, a bunch of speed. I mean, do you see this being a, I don't know, a track meet? Or is this a slugfest?
Well, I think Bill's got to slow the game down. I think they got to control the game. I think you got to get control of the football game. I think you don't want to play a track meet. I think the one thing we learned about college football is Nick Saban's not good at track meets. I think you got to slow it down. I think you got to control the pace of the game. You've got to get control of the game. That doesn't necessarily mean you got to get the lead in the game, but you got to get control of the game. You've got to take Hill out of the offense. You've got to have a good matchup for Kelsey, and you've got to force them to try to dare them to run the football. Let McCoy carry it a little bit. He'll turn the ball over twice with the way he carries the football loosely. So you've got to have to force them to play outside their comfort zone, and you've got to be able to block their blitzes, and you've got to be able to control the pace of the game through the ground and through the air, and you've got to make them pay a price. Now, I really believe that when somebody smacks them in the mouth, we'll see how they react. I don't know how they're going to react if they get smacked in the mouth.
Well, and what do you see out of Mahomes this year? Because it looks like, you know, you got Kelsey, you know, you got Hill, Hardman's checking in a little bit. You mentioned the running backs. Is it just this offense hasn't clicked yet, or are you seeing something different?
No, I think, you know, look, their offensive line, they're in the same boat the Patriots have been in. They've lost some offensive linemen. Not that their line was very good to begin with. I mean, Eric Fisher missed the bulk of the season. Now he's back now. You know, they've lost the starting center. I mean, they've lost some players, and he's taken it, and he's gotten a lot of hits. And I think they'll do a good job of, they did a good job of rushing them last year in Kansas City, especially in the first half. They'll power back. They'll squeeze that pocket so Mahomes feels it. I think Tennessee did that a little bit too when Tennessee played them in Tennessee.
Is Kareem Hunt a better back than LeSean McCoy?
Oh, no doubt. But Kareem Hunt is
I knew you were going to say that.
Kareem Hunt's a top five back. I mean, try tackling Kareem Hunt on a cold, cold day. Try tackling that guy coming at you. That guy always breaks tackles. Now, he comes with some issues, you know, and you're going to have to deal with that, and I'm not sure that that's something you want to bark upon. But in terms of McCoy's done. I mean, Buffalo got rid of McCoy for the right reasons. He's at the end. I mean, Andy Reid deactivated him during a game this week because he needed his rest. You know, I mean, that's what they do for Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. You don't need to do that for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, your buddy Bill Belichick, he stuffed me in the locker when I asked him that question. So I just don't think he likes me, though, but that's okay. Because he said, look, John McCoy's rushed for more yards than Hunt. I was like, okay, we moved on to the next question.
Well, I mean, but he's not playing Cleveland this week. Why would you ask that question?
Well,
if you know the answer to the question, why do you ask it?
Because we like it to really be awkward, Mike. We like it to be awkward and uncomfortable.
I actually live for the awkwardness.
This is where if you ask a question that you don't already know what the answer is going to be. I mean, you guys have been dealing with them for 19 years, and Kristen, you've been in the locker room.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike. Yeah. No. To defend myself, I just asked him, defending a team that has a guy like Kareem Hunt as opposed to three different running backs that hit you, how much of a challenge is that?
Well, you know he's never going to tell you that LeSean McCoy is
not a good
player.
So what should we talk about, Mike? Should we talk about the weather?
Yeah, give us some advice.
You tell us. You give us a question, Mike.
Here's how I would ask a question.
Go ahead.
What are the challenges with the Chiefs' offense this year as it relates to last year?
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike.
Let him answer that question. And then ask him a specific question.
We want him to talk. We want gossip from him rumors.
Exactly. You want page six. Yeah. You want to know what David Holly's talking about.
All right, Mike. All right, thanks, Mike. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Mike Lombardi. All right, more of OMF right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.